Hello, comrades, and welcome back to Marxist Voice, the podcast of the Communist. So we've only got less than 3 weeks to go until the founding Congress of the RCP, so the clock is ticking. But I've seen a real flurry of activity across the section of recruitment, education, fundraising, and so on. So I think we're definitely in good stead for that. For this week's episode, we're going to be focusing on the question of the international, why we need an international, and also, yeah, the launch of the Revolutionary Communist International, which will be taking place this June. So we're very pleased to be joined by Jorge Martin, who is a member of the International Secretariat of the soon-to-be Revolutionary Communist International, as well as a writer for Marxist.com and the magazine In Defense of Marxism. Hi, Jorge. How's it going?
Yeah, fine. I've been busy. One of the things I've been doing is I've been working on an article which has appeared now on the in Defense of Marxism magazine, the latest issue about Franz Fanon, which was very, very interesting to research. I have learned a lot, yeah. I have to say. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember you spoke about that at the recent Revolution Festival, didn't you, last year? Yes. What was it that you were reading in particular? Was it works by Franz Fanon himself?
Yeah, I read quite a lot of Franz Fanon and a few of the biographies. There's some that are better than others, but I found it very interesting. I knew very little about the Algerian Revolution, and also Franz Fanon has been completely distorted in academia and, yes, and in post-colonial circles. So I disagree with quite a few of the things that Fanon said about strategy and so on, but Fanon really if you read Fanon, it has nothing to do with the ideas that have been ascribed to him by many ideas of decolonizing the mind or anything like this. For Fanon was not about changing people's minds in order to liberate themselves, but through the process of actual revolutionary struggle for liberation, people will change. That was his argument. So yeah, I found it very interesting. And also about the role of Stalinism in the Algerian war, the French Communist Party played a dreadful role. It was very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember myself actually when I studied politics at university in Leeds. I remember Franz Fanon was on the syllabus for one of the courses that we did, and yeah, they really try and emphasize and, yeah, as you said, distort all of the weak sides of Fanon, completely neglecting the fact that he was a revolutionary. Yeah, they totally focus on essentially this postmodern idea, you know, changing your consciousness and therefore changing the world and so on. So yeah, I think that is something that is quite prevalent in academia.
In fact, they use the one text that they use the most is Black Skin's White Mask, which is a text that he wrote as his thesis for his studies in psychiatry. It wasn't meant to be a political text or anything like this. It does analyze from a psychiatric point of view the impact of colonization and racism on people's consciousness. But it doesn't advocate any solutions or any course of action. It's not a book of revolutionary strategy, but it's been taken as such by some people who have nothing to do with revolutionary strategy at all.
Yeah, well, I look forward to reading the article. And while we're on the subject, actually, In Defense of Marxism issue, is it 45 now?
I can't remember. 45, yeah.
45 is out now, actually. It arrived in the office this week. So do you want to maybe just go through, you know, what the focus of this issue is?
Well, it has a very interesting, very nice cover, very striking cover again. The main focus is the African Revolution. There is an article there's an editorial by Alan, precisely on the question of why we need a revolutionary communist international. But then there's a very interesting article by Ben Curry on the Ethiopian Revolution, 50th anniversary this year, about which I knew very little and I found very, very interesting. Then there's my article on Franz Fanon's. It's not about his whole life and ideas, but it's mainly about The Wretched of the Earth, his main text of revolutionary strategy. Then there is a text by Jules Legendre, a comrade from France, about the crimes of French imperialism in Cameroon, which I also found very interesting. I knew very little about it. And this, while the Algerian war is more well known in France and elsewhere, but the struggle for independence of Cameroon and the crimes of French imperialism in Cameroon are not very well known. I found it very interesting. And there's a couple of reprints from Trotsky and Lenin. Lenin's thesis on the colonial question for the Communist International, the Second Congress, which is very interesting. And also a very little known text by Trotsky about the slogan of a black republic in South Africa. And he writes a letter to South African revolutionaries commenting on this debate about this question, which I think is very relevant for today. I think it's interesting.
Definitely, yes. Yeah. So if listeners want to get their hands on a copy of the In Defense of Marxism magazine, then we would definitely urge you to do so. If you head to communist.red/subscribe or /magazine, yeah, you can set up a subscription there, and you can also get a combination deal tied in with the communist newspaper. It's called the Full Communist Package, which I really like. And yeah, if you're anywhere else outside of Britain or the UK, then yeah, you can head to marxist.com and find out more information there. But yeah, how about we jump in then to the main topic of discussion for today, which is, yeah, why do we need an international? What would you say to that?
Well, the basic idea is the capitalist system is a worldwide system. As Marx and Engels already explained in the Communist Manifesto, capitalism conquers the whole world, brings the whole world under its domination, and creates world politics, world culture, world economy. Therefore, the socialist transformation of society can only be international. And from the very beginning of our movement is international. One of the first things that Marx and Engels did was to create the International Working Men's Association, the first international organization for gathering together the forces of the workers' movement. So that's, I would say, the first and foremost reason for why we need an international. If you're a communist, if you're a revolutionary, you can't just think about changing society in one country. It's not possible. And it's not feasible. It doesn't correspond to material reality. I would say that's the first one. The second one reason why we need an international is because there isn't one. There is no international communist organization today, as it might have existed in the past. You had the First International, the Second International, the Third International. You had the Fourth International, which never fully developed. But at most times in history, you had one or perhaps even two. You had a Communist International. At the same time, you had a Reformist International. Mm-hmm. But right now, there is no such thing. There is no international organization dedicated to the revolutionary transformation of society. And we think that one is completely required. And we're gonna take steps towards that end.
And yeah, we recently had an episode on our podcast borrowed from The Spectre of Communism, where Fred Weston gave a really, really good detailed history, actually, of the international from Marx to Lenin, looking at the lessons of the Communist International as well. I really liked that episode. So yeah, if comrades want to check that out, head to the previous episode and give it a listen. But yeah, we've been organized as the International Marxist Tendency now since, 1992, I believe. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
Why are we launching?
Although the original name of the International was the Committee for a Marxist International, we changed to International Marxist Tendency, but I can't remember the year. In the late mid 1990s, perhaps something like that.
I didn't know that. You learn something new every day.
Yeah.
But why is it that we've decided to launch the Revolutionary Communist International now in 2024?
Different? we think that the step forward is required. You see, at the time of the 2008 crisis, which was a turning point for world capitalism, there was a massive revulsion against the austerity measures that followed. The banks had been bailed out, state money had been used to save the capitalist economy, and now working people were being made to pay. And there were big movements everywhere. You had the 15M Indignados movement in Spain, the Syntagma Square occupation in Greece. And out of these massive movements, big anti-austerity demonstrations in Britain, and out of these movements, the Arab Spring, which was also part of the same process. But out of these whole movements, the political expression that came out of that was a whole number of new political formations that were claiming to be anti-austerity. They were in a confused way articulating this anti-capitalist feeling. Mm. Podemos in Spain, Syriza in Greece, Corbyn here in Britain, and Sanders in the United States, Mélenchon in France. But the problem with these formations that became very popular and hundreds of thousands of people joined these movements is that they spoke in very radical terms, opposition to everything that's existing and so on. But deep down, the program was not really a program to overthrow capitalism. It was a program to introduce a series of reforms and measures within the limits of capitalism, mm-hmm. like tax the rich, spend more in healthcare and education, without realizing that within the limits of capitalism, most of these reforms were impossible to carry out. So therefore, as a consequence, most of these movements ended up betraying the aspirations of the people who supported them. The most striking case was Syriza in mm-hmm. Greece, came to power in January, February 2015. And in 6 months, on the basis of anti-austerity program, rejection of the memorandum of the Troika, mm-hmm. Troika being the European Union, the IMF, and the European Central Bank, and which had imposed these limits to spending, fiscal austerity, and so on. So they came to power on the basis of that program, rejection of austerity, in 6 months' time. They completely capitulated and started implementing this program, despite the fact that the majority of the Greek people had voted against the memorandum in a national referendum. So basically, what we see is that the limits of reformism in the epoch of capitalist crisis is reformism without reforms, or rather reformism with counter reforms. Throughout that period of time, the IMT, the International Marxist Tendency, was part of these movements. Mm-hmm. Part of these movements because we wanted to connect with hundreds of thousands of people who started in the process of rejecting capitalism, always maintaining our criticism. We never abandoned our program. Mm-hmm. We warned from the beginning that, yes, we are against austerity, but in order to really overcome, austerity does come from the crisis of capitalism. It's not the whim of this or that other politician. That wants to introduce cuts, but this is inherent in the crisis of capitalism. And therefore, the solution is to overthrow capitalism. We always proposed and put forward a communist point of view, a revolutionary point of view. But now all these movements have collapsed and they have betrayed because of their own weakness, or rather the weakness of their leaders and the ideas that were at the leadership of these movements. And there's a new generation of people who have lived through this period. I mean, 2008 is now what?
My maths is 14.
Well, no, not 14. Is it 16 years ago? Yeah, 16 years ago. Anyone who is now, say, 25, under 25 or under 30,
like me, for example,
like yourself, not myself,
happened,
have lived all their lives in this particular period of capitalism, crisis, war, imperialism. The impact of the COVID pandemic, which revealed the inability of capitalism to deal with serious emergency health emergency problem. And they have also lived through the experience of this previous wave of struggle and politicization. And many of them have no time for this. And there's a rejection even of the idea of socialism, which has become associated with people like Bernie Sanders. Mm-hmm. And people like that, who in the end capitulated and supported Clinton, supported the Democratic Party, the Capitalist Democratic Party. In effect, they support Biden and so on. So there's a whole layer of people now, particularly young people, students, workers, and so on, who are moving towards the ideas of communism. Mm-hmm. And we think that the time is right for the IMT to take a step forward, a qualitative leap, have a clear communist identity to go with our ideas and to try to connect with this mood that exists, try to offer this layer of people an organization where they can develop their ideas, be educated theoretically, and participate in a worldwide struggle for communism. This is the idea behind the launch of the Revolutionary Communist International, which is already in its early stages, but it's already had a big impact everywhere.
Mm-hmm. And this process of relaunching the organization isn't just taking place like on an international scale, it's also taking place within each of the individual national sections of the RCI. You know, we've got examples, like obviously here in Britain, we're launching the Revolutionary Communist Party next month, hence this podcast series. But also, yeah, you've got examples like Switzerland, Sweden, Denmark, Canada, Brazil, across the world, basically. I was wondering maybe if you want to go into any of the the recent successes, anything that stands out from this campaign that we've launched?
Yeah, definitely. This is a process that's taking place everywhere. It might be at different stages of its development in mm-hmm. different countries. I will argue, for instance, that the move towards communism is more advanced in countries like, say, the United States or Brazil, where you've had already in power right-wing demagogues who are calling everyone communist. Yeah. They're calling Biden a communist. They're calling anyone who's in opposition a communist. And this has increased the interest for communist ideas, ironically.
Inadvertently, it's made it less scary because it's such a common
phrase. Right, that's right. And also, there's another factor that, I mean, the fall of Stalinism was when? 35 years ago.
Yeah.
This is ancient history for most people. Communism is no longer scary. I mean, even in the United States, where there's been decades of an anti-communist scare campaign, this doesn't cut mustard with most young people who instead of the crisis of capitalism, instead of the crisis of communism, which is in reality the crisis of Stalinism, what they have lived through all their lives is the crisis of capitalism. Mm-hmm. So yeah, going back to your question, we have been very successful. Hundreds of people are joining the different national sections of the IMT, soon to be the Revolutionary Communist International. On Saturday, for instance, the comrades in Canada, which are launching the Revolutionary Communist Party as well, and under the same name, they had rallies across the country to announce a new party. And these were very successful. I think there must have been 200 or more in Toronto, 200 or more in Montreal, and then mm-hmm. smaller rallies all across the country. This is a national organization. This is probably the biggest communist organization that's ever been in Canada for many decades, which says a lot about the weakness of the communist left in Canada, but also of the genuine interest that there is about communism. Also, at the weekend, we had the Congress of the Irish section. Mm. This is a small group of comrades, but one that has, I think, more than trebled in membership in one year.
More than that. I think they've timed their membership by seven, actually. They started out with five people at the start of the last year, I think, and now they're 35 paid up members.
35 comrades. This is obviously a very small force, but you can see that there's been an exponential growth, and it shows that everywhere there is an interest communism, and we are connecting with it. Also, at the weekend, the U.S. comrades had the launch of their new paper, which is called The Communist, as in Britain, and they marked that with big rallies in some places, in Seattle, in Philadelphia, in Minneapolis, in New York, big public meetings, then big rallies, and then big paper sales. Hundreds of papers were sold in Seattle alone, I think. Mm-hmm. And I find it very interesting for anyone who's a communist. The growth of a communist organization in the United States is particularly mm-hmm. interesting. You get this idea of sometimes in the left that the United States is one reactionary, pro-imperialist bloc. And it's not. Things are changing in the United States as well. And amongst many young people, not only students, but also young workers. We have comrades who work at UPS, we have building workers, auto workers, and so on, that are becoming interested in the idea of communism, most definitely. And the general mood in the United States is one where people say that no one thinks that the system is working. People might have different ideas about what to do about it, but no one thinks that the system is working, and a sizable minority thinks that the solution is an overhaul of the whole system and the struggle for communism. And yes, in this context, we are having a successful campaign. This campaign, the Are You a Communist campaign, of asking people directly, if you are a communist, you need to get organized. It's been going on now for a year or just over a year. I think it started in April last year. Started in Britain and then it spread internationally. But everywhere, as you say, in Sweden, in Denmark, in Switzerland, most unlikely place of all, in Brazil, everywhere is having a big impact. And I would say people are flocking to our ranks. We have to have a sense of proportion. We're still a small organization. Yeah, but I'd say that the growth that the IMT has had in the last 1 year is very significant. It's the fastest rate of growth that we've ever had, really.
Yeah, well, the future definitely bodes well, I think, in that regard. And yeah, just to bring it back to the Irish Congress, I was speaking to a comrade who was actually a visitor to the Congress, and he said the excitement, the determination was really palpable in the room. Like all of the comrades feel like they are part, you know, they feel responsible for carrying these tasks out. They discuss the political documents, the political perspectives, the organizational tasks and so on. And yeah, I think the goals that they set for themselves were incredibly audacious. They've set themselves the target, I think, of having 100 comrades on the island of Ireland, both in the north and the south, by their next Congress at the same time next year, and also to fund their first ever full-time revolutionary, which I think would be a huge step for them. And it's basically come out of nowhere. As I said, five comrades at the start of last year. Look at what can be achieved on the basis of, yeah, of audacity, of a strong understanding of the ideas of Marxism, and so on. So yeah, if comrades want to read more about that, I'm sure there'll be a report online. Yes. fairly soon.
I will echo your point that audacity and boldness is extremely important, and with that you can build, because these people are out there. Mm-hmm. There are people who already consider themselves communists in one way or another. They might not have a fully rounded understanding of Marxist theory, might not have read a lot, although some of them are well read. Yeah. People instinctively been reading Lenin, Marx, and so on. And that's the key to our success. But I will say there is another pillar to this, and that's the question of the importance of theory. Mm. It's not enough to be enthusiastic. It's not enough to want to transform the world. As Lenin said, without revolutionary theory, there is no revolutionary movement. And I would like to plug the Lenin book that we have published.
Yes,
Lenin book by Rob Sewell and Alan Woods is a biography of Lenin, but it's not a biography. It's called In Defense of Lenin. Mm-hmm. It's a biography, but it's also a history of his ideas, the political struggles that he was involved in. And I think it's an excellent tool. If you read this book, you will be well educated on a whole number of different subjects about how to build a party, a whole number of debates about imperialism, the question of the national question, the Russian Revolution, the debates after the revolution, the struggle of Lenin against bureaucratism. Mm. I'm currently revising the translation into Spanish of the book, which allows me to go more into detail into the book. And I will say that, anyone who's joined the Revolutionary Communist International, the Revolutionary Communist Party recently, they should read this book. Anyone who's been in the movement for a long time, they should also read this book, because they will learn a lot, myself included. And I will, I strongly recommend it. As you say, enthusiasm is the basis on which we grow and allows us to go forward. But that needs to be combined with a serious grounding on Marxist theory. And I will say that the In Defense of Lenin book is a very good place to start.
Yeah, definitely. I'd like to echo that as well. And if comrades would like to get their hands on a copy of that, you can head to wellreadbooks.co.uk if you're in Britain. I'd like to move on then to a question that we've received from a listener, actually, who wants to know a bit about how the international works in practice, how it relates to the different national sections. So I'll just play that now, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on it.
Hello, comrades. This is Eric from the Croydon Communists. I hope you're doing well. Recently, our branch created a new TikTok page, and we've gotten messages from across the world, from Chile to Azerbaijan to Kazakhstan to even Madagascar. And my question was, how does our national section of the IMT, soon to be RCI, interact with these different sections of the international? Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's a great question, Eric. Thanks for sending that in. And yeah, it's great to hear that you're having success using social media to build the party. But yeah, what do you think? How do the different national sections of the RCI relate to each other?
Yeah, I will say that this is a very important question, because the way we organize, we're not just a collection, a federal grouping or a collection of national organizations that come together once a year and we have similar ideas. No. We are a world party. We are the world party of socialist revolution. And this is how it was always conceived. The Third International was a world party, and they had meetings in the Communist International Congress, which lasted for 2-3 weeks. They had, say, a commission on the work of the French party, and the Communist International as a whole looked at that and issued advice and instructions and political discussions about the most important things that were happening around the world and how the different national sections were intervening in those. So yeah, we are an international party. And how does that work? Well, we base ourselves on the Leninist idea of democratic centralism. Mm-hmm. Democratic centralism also applies at an international level. So therefore, the IMT, and now the Revolutionary Communist International, has a World Congress, which meets every 2 years. In this case, we're now meeting 1 year from the last World Congress because important changes are taking place. But the International Congress, the World Congress, meets every 2 years with delegates elected by all the national sections in proportion to their membership. And there are documents that are produced in advance. These documents are discussed throughout the membership of the whole international. The most important political questions are put to the debate. Comrades, delegates, national sections are free to present amendments, changes, alternative documents if need be. And these are fully discussed at the World Congress. Finally, a joint political understanding is arrived at. Documents are finalized and voted democratically. Mm-hmm. And that becomes the line of the international for the next 2 years. In between international World Congresses, there's an international executive committee, which meets every 6 months, approximately, and decides on all important matters in between World Congresses. And then there is a permanent international secretariat based here in London, which leads politically the international on a day-to-day basis, issues statements about important things happening in the world, say the Israeli assault on Gaza, the war in Ukraine, and things like this, as and when this happen. So basically, yes, we are a world party of socialist revolution, and that gives us, a lot of strength and makes us superior to other organizations which have a narrow national point of view. Or they may be part of some international grouping, but a grouping in which every national section does whatever they want without any regard or reference to international joint discussion. This also allows us to pull together the experience of comrades, communists, intervening in the movement in different countries, see what are the common threats, what can we learn from each other? That's the idea of a world party. That's how the IMT organizes. That's how the Revolutionary Communist International will organize. As of its founding congress, which is taking place in June, as you said earlier, from the 9th to the 16th of June, the founding of the International Revolutionary Communist International will take place at the World Congress, which will be broadcast live internationally. The Congress will have a part which is a discussion of our documents, chiefly the manifesto of the Revolutionary Communist International, which I recommend everyone to read. It's been published in advance. A discussion about organization, but also we'll have another part which we call the World School of Communism, which is a four-day discussion with over 15 or 20 discussions.
21, I think. Is
21 discussions. About different aspects of revolutionary communist theory, which will also be broadcast online and which people can attend from the comfort of the front room, but also at watch parties, collective watching events that we're organizing all over the world. And I will really recommend people to attend, encourage people to attend, to register. I think the website is worldschoolofcommunism.com.
I think it's just schoolofcommunism.com.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Schoolofcommunism.com. Yeah. And you can go there. There's a list of all the talks, but also reading material that you can use in order to prepare for these discussions. And there's the dates. There's all the details are in there. It will also be translated into a whole number of different languages. So it will be a really exciting, wholly international event in its character.
Yeah, the array of talks does look very interesting. I see you've got things covering philosophy, dialectics, materialism, economics, the Russian Revolution and why it degenerated into Stalinism, various talks about history, oppression, the national question, strategy and tactics, war and imperialism, the state. Yeah. The list goes on. I think it's going to be a really fantastic event.
Many of these things have an historical character. For instance, the discussion on war and imperialism is based on Lenin's writings during the First World War, but they also have an implication for today, the position that one takes in relation to the war in Ukraine, the position one takes in relation to the Middle East, and so on. This is informed. It's not necessarily directly determined, but if you don't understand the history of the movement and the theoretical discussions that have gone on before, you'll probably be lost in taking a position today.
Yeah, and it really is going to be a truly international event as well. I've just been looking actually recently at the list of different countries from which people have signed up to attend this event. You've got, this is just a selection of random ones. Afghanistan, Bangladesh, Chile, China, Egypt, Haiti, India, Indonesia, Iraq, Myanmar, New Zealand, Saudi Arabia, Thailand, Zimbabwe. The list goes on. You know, we're going to have people from literally every single continent there. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. And yeah, once again, schoolofcommunism.com if you want to sign up. But yeah, I want to move on to another question, perhaps our last question maybe of the day. So yeah, you mentioned that we have an international center. That's what you work for. Maybe our listeners would like to know, what is it the international center does? You know, what do they produce? What do they do in their day-to-day work? Yeah, what's that look like?
Yeah, the Revolutionary Communist International, the IMT up until now, is quite a large organization with sections in how many sections do we have? More than 30. More than 30. We have more than 30 countries where there are formal sections already, but we have work in over 60 countries around the world at different levels of development. And so obviously there's a whole number of logistic and technical aspects of this, like the organizing of world events, the organizing of international meetings, the coordination of the work of all the sections. But first and foremost, our work is political, the development of political analysis, political ideas, and political education, which is the basis of the existence of the Revolutionary Communist International, really. And so we produce, the International Center is in charge of the production of the books. Well-read is becoming the foremost publisher of Marxist literature, not only our own material, but also the classics of Marxism, which is no longer published by anybody else, really. The publication of the magazine, the theoretical magazine, which comes out quarterly in defense of Marxism, which is also published in a whole host of different languages, French, German, Spanish, Portuguese, Urdu in Pakistan, Russian, and a whole number of Italian, a whole number of other languages translated into. The publication of the daily website of the International, Marxist.com, which is a varied collection of historical reprints, but mostly political analysis of what's happening today, in-depth political analysis of, say, the recent elections in Turkey, the development of the war in Ukraine, the massacre in Gaza, from a communist point of view, giving not only analysis, but also answers and slogans that are appropriate for the agitation in relation to these questions. This is really the main work of the international center of the IMT, soon to be Revolutionary Communist International. And on top of this, obviously, we comrades visit the congresses and national meetings of the different sections to discuss with the comrades their work, generalize the lessons, and so on. But I would say that the main work of the International Secretariat, the International Center of the IMT, is first and foremost the development of the political ideas, the development of the theoretical level of understanding, which really is what is the glue that keeps the international together. Well, what unites us is not an apparatus or anything like this. What unites us is common ideas, a common understanding, common communist, Leninist ideas of how to the need to transform society, the inevitable crisis of capitalism, and the need for a socialist revolution.
Yeah, well, thanks for explaining that. I think that's pretty much everything I wanted to go over in this episode. Is there anything that you'd like to highlight before we finish?
Yeah, there's just one point maybe it's worth mentioning that some people might say, okay, you're launching a Revolutionary Communist International, but is this the right time, or aren't there other communist organizations out there? And I will say that One of the main characteristics of the present situation is the enormous crisis that exists in the communist movement. There are still communist parties that call themselves by this name, but most of these have really long time ago abandoned any genuine idea of communism or Leninism. You have, for instance, the Communist Party of Britain, which in its British Road to Socialism talks about, is it three different stages? First, you have to have a left coalition government, then something else. And it's really not a revolutionary communist approach to things. Yeah. Or you have the Communist Party in Spain, which still calls itself communist, sometimes signs statements saying we're for socialism. But they are part of a coalition government with the Socialist Party, which is part of NATO, sending arms to Ukraine, and so on. Or even worse, you have the Communist Party of the Russian Federation, which is basically just an appendix of Putin's imperialist policy in Ukraine. Or even worse, if there's a big competition for which is the party that's most abandoned communist principles, furthest from them. The Communist Party of the United States, which is basically an
the left wing of the Democratic Party,
electoral machine for voting for Biden, under the excuse that Trump is fascism, then we must fight against fascism by voting for whom? For a capitalist party that's responsible for the genocide in Gaza, you know. So there is a big crisis in the communist movement. There are some forces within what you will call the communist movement that are trying to resist.
Like in Greece, for example.
This collapse into national reformism and chauvinism. Amongst them is the Communist Party of Greece. There's also been a big split in the Communist Party, in the Brazilian Communist Party. And there's a group of comrades that are fighting for what they call revolutionary reconstruction, revolutionary refoundation of that party. We're in discussions with them. And we do have differences with the Communist Party of Greece. But at least it has to be said that, for instance, on the war in Ukraine, they have taken a principled position. They say, we oppose NATO. We consider this not just in words, but also in deeds. And we consider this an inter-imperialist war, and therefore we're not in favor of Russia. There's a whole number of communist parties, or so-called communist parties in the world, that basically act as cheerleaders for Russia and China, which are supposed to be the beginning of a multipolar world. Anyway, there's a complete crisis in the communist movement. And I think that is also one of the reasons which makes the launching of the Revolutionary Communist International so timely. We want to open a debate with anyone in the communist movement who stands for the ideas of genuine communism, the ideas of Lenin. And we might have other differences, but let's open a dialogue. These are our ideas expressed in the manifesto. We're putting them out there. And we like other people to comment on them, see whether there's agreement, disagreement, whether there's agreement on fundamental questions, other questions we can discuss. I think that this is also very, very important in terms of the need for the launch of the Revolutionary Communist International.
Thanks for explaining that, Jorge. And if listeners would like to get their hands on a copy of the Revolutionary Communist International's manifesto, it will be in print, I believe, very soon. But there's also a version that is online on marxist.com. So the link to that will be in the show notes of this podcast. So I think that brings us to the end of this episode. So thanks very much to our listeners for tuning in. And thank you, Jorge, for joining us.
It was a pleasure.
Yeah, and before you leave, just a few quick announcements. So as always, if you agree with the ideas that have been explained on this podcast series and other podcasts like it, if you're a communist and you want to get organized to overthrow capitalism once and for all, then you should definitely join the Revolutionary Communist International. If you head to the link in the show notes of this podcast, you can fill in our application form so we can put you in touch with your nearest branch or cell. And if there's no one near you, then we'll give you all of the tools and the support that you need to build a communist cell of your own. As well as that, if you'd like to support the work that we're doing here in the Revolutionary Communist Party, you can also donate to us as well. If you want to give a one-off donation towards our special party launch fund, you're more than welcome to do so. But in particular, if you'd like to set up a regular donation to finance the work that our party is doing and put it on a strong material foundation, then you can do that as well. And you can also subscribe to our newspaper, The Communist, and our theoretical magazine, In Defense of Marxism. Finally, our Congress is only less than 3 weeks away. And if you'd like to attend that,
then you should get in touch with your nearest branch of the RCP and find out more. It's going to be a very exciting event with hundreds of delegates and visitors from across the country, where we're going to be discussing our key political documents and perspectives, as well as organizational tasks as well. So yeah, get in touch with your nearest branch to find out more. And one last thing, please make sure to send in any questions, reports, and feedback to this podcast series, and we might include it on the next episode. So thanks very much once again to our listeners for tuning in, and make sure you stay tuned to Marxist Voice for future episodes covering Marxist theory, revolutionary history, current events, and party building, brought to you by The Communist.